Good morning, once again. As Alan shared during the first part of our service, we are continuing a series this morning with the children present with us on the armor of God. In the reading that we heard this morning, it mentioned that we do have a spiritual battle going on around us. And two points of special note that we talked about 2 weeks ago as we began this. First, that the battle occurs in an unseen world, and yet it's very real. Do the children remember any of the things we talked about 2 weeks ago that you cannot see, but are still very real? Yes. Excuse me.
Faith.
Okay.
Electricity.
We can't see it, and yet we know it's real.
Wind.
There are other things such as sorrow or our emotions. They're very real, and yet we cannot see them. The second point regarding this battle is that the real enemy is Satan and his helpers. It's not the people which they use against us. Sometimes we forget that. We see people mistreating us, and we think, oh, they are our enemies. But Paul says it's not against flesh and blood, not against people that we fight. In that passage, we also looked at to stand against Satan. We are instructed to put on the armor of God. And that particularly is the theme for this summer's all-age services. And the question we're looking at, what is that armor? How do we put it on? We looked at the first part of the armor 2 weeks ago. And again, I'll ask the children, do you remember what the first piece of armor that we talked about? Okay, Beatrice. The belt of truth. Now, what is the armor that we put on? Is it a belt?
Truth.
It's truth. And that's what I want to make sure as we go through the summer that you remember. It's not something physical that you put on. The real important thing is the truth. And today we're going to be looking at the breastplate of righteousness. In the future, there will be a helmet we put on, but a helmet of salvation. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and a shield of faith. It's the faith, it's the righteousness, it's the truth that's important. In Ephesians it says, some translations, gird yourselves with truth. It's represented by a belt, having the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I've already mentioned it, but can you tell me again, what is the second piece we put on? What are we looking at today?
The breastplate.
The breastplate of?
Righteousness.
Of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, it's the righteousness that's important. And it's represented by a breastplate. Now, I've asked Timothy, if he'll just stand up for a moment and turn around. Just turn around here. I've asked him to model a Roman breastplate. You can sit down again for the moment. We're going to be using that as we go through. I also have original pictures if anybody is interested to see some of the models of the breastplate at the time of Paul as he was writing. Now, the important thing to understand is righteousness, and again, not the physical armor. So I'm going to ask the very difficult question, what is righteousness? Okay. How about the adults? I don't see hands among the children. Can you define righteousness?
Being right with God.
Okay. Righteousness is a tough word to define. It's the quality of being right or doing right before God and pleasing Him. Now, we need a little bit of a grammar, an English lesson. When you get a ness on the end of the word, it's talking about the quality of something. So righteousness, we have other words. If we put spice in the food, it becomes spicy. And then we talk about the spiciness of the food. Some people don't eat Thai food because of its spiciness. It's the quality of being spicy. So righteousness, if someone is or something is righteous, it's the quality of being right before God, the characteristic of being righteous. Now, the term righteousness is used in different ways in the Bible. The first is sort of a negative way. It talks about our efforts to be right before God and to please Him. In Isaiah 64, it says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Another translation, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. This is not what we are to put on. That would make a pretty poor set of armor. I like the German Lumpen. to put on rags. That's not going to be very good protection. Doing right is correct, but doing right things does not make us right before God. That's not righteousness. That's our efforts at righteousness. Putting on righteousness does not mean trying to get God to like us. It'll never be enough. Now, there is a righteousness which is enough. Do you know where we get that from?
From the Bible?
Oh, we learn about it from the Bible. Okay, Romans tells us about this. Romans chapter 3. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So we learn about it from the Bible, exactly what you said. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So there is a righteousness that we can get that we don't get by doing things, but by believing that Jesus died for us and accepting the fact that He paid the penalty for our sin. Now, righteousness apart from law means a righteousness not based upon the good things that we do. We can try and try to do right things, and they're just like rags. They don't make us right before God. But God offers the righteousness that's in Jesus. This righteousness, however, belongs to every believer. Everyone who has come to Jesus in faith, to God through Jesus, has this righteousness. And it's not something we have to put on additionally. Once you're a believer, you have this. So that's not exactly the righteousness we put on either as our armor. In fact, in the Old Testament, it talks about the Messiah. And the Messiah is Jesus. Jesus came. Christ is the New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah. And Jesus came as the Messiah. And the Old Testament describes the Messiah, the Son, as the Son of God. He's perfect, without sin, perfectly righteous. But it says the Messiah would put on righteousness as His breastplate. Now, He's already righteous, and yet He puts on righteousness as a breastplate. It's not the right standing which we have before God because of being created new in Christ, but it's the way of living that fits that new standing that we have. We are righteous, so we're supposed to live that way. And that brings us to the third way in which it's used in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, we read this again 2 weeks ago. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, that's the way you used to live before you became a believer, to put off your old self, the way you used to be, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, things that we want that aren't right, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you should put off, and then it gives some things to put off, and then put on, and then it mentions some things. And it goes through then that passage. Paul talks about things we have to put off and put on, just like we're taking off the old rags, the way we used to be, the things we thought were good, and putting on instead new armor, the way we're supposed to be. And we'll look at some of those in a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit about the breastplate. Why is righteousness represented as a breastplate? Why do you think, what did the breastplate protect? Why don't you come up here for Timothy, so they can see it. What did the breastplate protect?
Well, it protected all your middle, your heart, your everything actually. So if you would have like lost your shield or something like that, you could still be protected by the breastplate.
Right. It protected all the things that are in here. And if you lost your shield, or if something got past your shield, or came from the back, because the armor back then even protected in the back. Now, before the time of Christ, the breastplate was just in the front. It was sort of like a Greek form. We think of that many times, and if the kids buy armor in the store, it's usually a plastic thing that just covers the front. Later on in Roman history, they wore chain mail. It actually was a chainmail coat that went around. But for about the first 2 centuries, the most popular type was similar to what he's wearing. Naturally, looked a little bit different, but it's that idea. It was bands of metal that went completely around, and then metal at the top, and was one of the most effective armors to protect this area. Now, what all is in this part of your body?
Your heart, your lungs.
Okay.
A bit lower on your stomach.
Stomach, heart, lungs, liver, kidney, all these things. Now, how's the breastplate different than a shield?
Because the shield you just use like to get the enemy away, to help maybe also with a sword and get your enemy better.
Okay, you can use a shield to move it around and push an enemy away. Well, how else is it different? A shield can be used as a weapon. Righteousness or the breastplate is not used as a weapon. It's passive. It's there to protect. Can you use a shield behind you? It's kind of difficult. But the breastplate went all the way around, protected front and back. It was a passive protection. Now, it protected the heart, and we talk about the stomach and the organs. Now, how does the Bible use the heart? Now, we know what the heart's a muscle, right? And it pumps blood inside of us. But what does it represent when it talks about your heart?
Your soul.
Your soul? Okay. Andrew?
Your only way of living, because if someone doesn't have a heart, well, the heart just stops, you kill yourself.
Okay, your way of living, because if your heart stops, and you die, right? Okay. Your spirit. Okay, what comes out of your heart in the Bible? When it talks about some things that come out of your heart, what type of things come out of your heart? It doesn't talk about blood. I think they need some help. Otto.
Love.
From love full-heartedly, out of your heart. Okay, what else comes out of your heart?
Water,
well, usually not supposed to. But when you're sick, when Christ died and was pierced with a sword, blood and water came out. But that's not how to use figurative. That's your physical heart. I'm looking for what it pictures. What does the heart picture? What type of things come out of the heart? Adults, can you help them?
Okay. Emotions.
Emotions. Okay, emotions come out of your heart. What else? Denise? Excuse me? Thoughts come out of your heart. Hey, what? Don't you think with your brain? Well, not in the Bible. It talks about our thoughts coming out of our heart as well. Mark, it says, from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So when it talks about the heart, it's talking about the very center of our being. What we think about, what we want to do, what's right and wrong. And even the lower parts. We don't, in our newer translations, it doesn't talk about that. But the old King James Authorized, it talks about bowels of compassion. Your innards. When you're sad, where do you feel your sadness? Where do you feel your sadness up here? What part of your body do you, when you've been crying and you feel sad, where do you feel it? When you're scared, where do you feel it? You talk about having butterflies in your stomach, right? You know, your stomach gets all knotted up, and it's in this part. This part is what talks about the very part of our center of who we are. So it's important that we guard our hearts. Remember, that was the theme from your camp. Guard your hearts. It means guarding our thoughts, our emotions, our wills against the attack of Satan. Now, when we fail to live like God wants us to, we open up ourselves for the attack of Satan. In fact, we give him opportunity to lead us into more sin. And the Roman armor gives us a good illustration of that, and it's put together in pieces. Now, as I said, this is a somewhat abbreviated form. There was usually more pieces that went out when you had a bigger shoulders. You needed more, and there was a few more pieces going around. But this is basically the idea, and it gives a good illustration of what happens. And I like to consider just a few of the failures that we might have in our lives to live obediently. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, this is repeated in Philippians and Colossians, it says, always give thanks to the Father for everything. Now, this is a command to give thanks. If we do not give thanks in everything, we are disobeying God. What happens if we disobey?
We're not near enough to God, and we can't maybe have relations with God, and then God, we get away from God, we get more apart from God.
Okay, so when we disobey, we get apart from God. We lose our fellowship with God. If we're disobeying, we have lost some of that righteousness that we're supposed to have. When we fail to give thanks, we have just disobeyed God, and we have lost part of the righteousness that we should be putting on. And we've left ourselves open for attack. In Romans it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But what happens? Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. By failing to give thanks, they let themselves open to one step further and their hearts were darkened. They let dark thoughts come into their hearts. When we fail to thank God, we are rejecting him as a good, all-powerful God, which he is. He is good. He is all-powerful. But we don't give thanks. We don't accept him as that way. And Satan uses that and fills our hearts with dark thoughts. We begin to doubt in other areas as well. Well, you know, if we don't give thanks, well, what is God really there? Is he really helping me? And we begin to look for our own solutions for things. So we've lost part of our armor. How about getting angry? Is there a danger in getting angry? Yes. What's the danger in getting angry? Johannes?
It can turn into something else.
It can turn into something else. In Ephesians it says, again earlier in the same letter, be angry and sin not. But do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And do not give a hold, an opportunity to Satan. If we are angry in the wrong way, we've just lost some more of our armor. So all we're getting left with as we go through is those rags that we think will protect us. We have gotten angry and we have given a foothold to Satan. Continued anger can lead to bitterness. When you're angry one day and you deal with it, it's fine. When you're angry and you go to bed and you're still angry, the next day you get up, you may even forgotten what you're angry about, but you have this bitterness in your heart. And continued anger keeps us from forgiving. And we're supposed to forgive one another. And that's still another sin. And when we take off that armor, we leave ourselves open for further attack from Satan. Paul warned us in Corinthians about not forgiving. He told us that the Corinthians that they should forgive or that Satan would outwit them. When we fail to forgive, we're disobeying God. But we're taking away further armor. Not much left. But that's what happens when we allow sin into our lives. When we fail to live with the righteousness that God wants us to. Failing to forgive leaves us open for even more attacks. Sometimes those who are angry and who fail to forgive want to get even. Have you ever felt that way? I'm going to get back. You know, it's so easy to do that. We sometimes do it right away. Somebody says something we don't like, and we snap back with a sentence that just to make them feel bad. We have sought revenge in that moment. Now, is revenge something that we should do? No. Jesus said, don't seek revenge. Well, we've just lost our last piece of armor. And they're left, the poor soldier is left with a torn t-shirt and duct tape. And they didn't have duct tape back then. There's nothing. As we go through, and it just was one sin led to another, we refused to thank God, and we began to think wrong. We didn't. We were angry and failed to forgive. We became bitter and sought revenge. And one thing after another, as we let Satan come into our lives to have influence in what we were doing, we lost our armor. If we go through and after that verse I read, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you should put off falsehood and speak truthfully. What do we put off? Put off those old rags of the old way of living, of lying, and tell the truth. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who's been stealing should steal no longer. You know, stealing is in school too. If you take another child's answer, you've stolen their answer. If you've put it down and said it's yours, you've just lied. You are losing your armor. You're not protecting yourself against Satan. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. So we need to stop saying bad things, hurtful things, and try to say things that build people up. As we do that, we put on the armor. We put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness. We need to be kind and compassionate to one another. I'm going to take this off now and sit down. Probably a little bit cooler without it. Thank you. God has created believers in Christ Jesus to live righteously. And when we do obey Him, we are putting on a breastplate of righteousness. When we don't, we are not putting on a breastplate of righteousness. We're just trying to put on filthy rags. Things that do not protect us. And Satan can use the gaps in our armor to attack us. There's a story in the Old Testament about a king who went out to battle. Now this king was smart. Who do you think they, when two armies fight, who do they try to attack? Who's the best person to kill?
The king.
The king. In fact, I've been told in some places, soldiers going into battle will rip off their designation, rank designation. Is that true? Tim, do you know? You've never done that? But in the Old Testament, many times they would say, well, there's the king. Let's attack the king. Well, this king was smart. He said, I'm not going to dress up like the king. I'm just going to put normal armor on. Well, out of the enemy, God directed an arrow, and it hit in a hole in his armor. That's often was the weak spot, right under the arm. It had to be. It was kind of hard to build armor to let your arm move. So there was often this gap. And this arrow came right through and got him right under his arm. He had a gap in his armor. And he bled to death. He died. To be protected against our spiritual enemies, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And that includes living righteously. We need to obey what God has said. And when we disobey, we can repair our armor. All we need to do is go and confess our sin. And He is faithful. He will forgive us our sins. He cleanses us from unrighteousness. And He restores that protection. And when Satan comes, he won't have any way to attack us. Even if we fail with our shield at some point, with our sword, there's the breastplate of righteousness. And we can stand before God and know that we are right because of what Christ has done for us and because we are living in full forgiveness of sin. It's tough at times to live right. But Jesus gives us the strength. He's given us His Spirit to know how to apply His Word in our lives. And through that, we can put on the breastplate of righteousness every day to be protected against Satan. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we are not unprotected against the attacks of Satan. And yet, as believers, it's not just something that comes automatically. We need to resist Satan and flee from him. We need to come to You and to stay close to You. We need to put on the armor that You have provided, to be truthful in all our dealings, to live in truth, and to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Father, help us to examine our lives daily, and when we see that we have sinned, to deal with it quickly, and to recognize when we allow even the smallest thing in our lives, whether it's a lie, whether it's a harsh word, we are opening ourselves up to the attacks of Satan. Help us to be on guard and to live protected against the spiritual enemy that's out there. Thank You for what You give in Christ to live protected against our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.